Okay, we're reading now from Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 19 a little bit closer now. As Paul writes back to these dear, dear believers, he calls them dearly beloved, not just once, but twice, dearly beloved, loved of the Lord, and Paul loved these people. God gave them life to believe the gospel, and he writes back to them with a letter of encouragement to tell them to rejoice in the Lord. All the way through this epistle, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then he sends this word of comfort to these people. Verse 19, but my God, who is God, who is the absolute sovereign ruler over all things, my God shall supply all your need. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a great need. I am, like David said, I am poor and needy. Who's going to take care and supply all that I need? None other than God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. God shall supply all your need, my need, according to His riches in glory by, and it's always by and through, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God has for any guilty sinner found in Christ Jesus. Now, my first point is this. Our great need. Our great need. We have so many. Great need. We have many things that we stand in need of. And the reason being, we're by birth and by nature, we have a sinful, rotten, wicked nature. We say with David, as he says repeatedly through the Psalms, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I am poor and needy. Turn to Psalm 86 and notice this. I am poor and needy. By nature, by birth, I have a sinful, wicked nature. I cannot provide anything spiritually good for myself. Someone must come and undertake for me and do for me what I cannot do for myself. I have great need. Psalm 86. Look at verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Or notice the reference, one whom you have showed favor to. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I am poor and needy. I am totally sinful and bankrupt. We are so sinful, so bankrupt, we have no ability to supply our spiritual need, which is great, which is great. We may, by the help of God, see to our physical need with the help of God. Food, shelter, clothing. He gives us the ability to think, to work. He said, without me, you can do nothing. We may, with the help of God, supply our physical need. But even there, we're dependent upon Him to bless us and to keep us. But in the realm of our spiritual need, we are totally helpless. I mean totally, totally helpless. Totally shut up to the sovereign mercy of God. Maybe we better ask this question instead. What is it that I don't need? I need all things. I need all things. I need for someone to come and undertake for me and do for me what I cannot do for myself. And we know from our text here, that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our need is great. Let me just mention just a few things here, and then we'll come back and look at these things when we close the message. Our need is great. I need pardon. I need pardon from all my iniquities. You know why? I'm guilty. I'm guilty before I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Adam, all died. We need pardon from all our iniquities because of our guilt. Whatsoever the law says, it says to them that are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Who was it that prayed in Scripture, Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. I need pardon. I can't do anything to pardon myself. I cannot do anything to put away my sin. I'm in great need of pardon. I'm in great need not only of pardon, but of righteousness. Righteousness before God. And I know this. I cannot produce a righteousness fitting unto God. You see, my best that I have and my righteousness, God says, is nothing but filthy rags. Away with it. It's just smoke in my nose. I cannot produce a righteousness. Yet God says, you must be as holy as God to enter in. And I can't meet that standard. I need a righteousness, and I cannot produce one. I need spiritual resurrection from the dead. I cannot quicken myself and give myself life. In Adam, all died. In Adam, all are spiritually dead. Graveyard dead and smelling. Dead in sin. And I cannot give myself life. I cannot. Totally depraved. That's us through and through. I have great need. Great need. I need faith. Faith to receive Christ. By nature, I don't have it. By nature, I'm full of unbelief. Full of unbelief. Full of wickedness. Men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. You see, I need all things. Pardon. Righteousness. Spiritual life. Faith is a gift of God. I don't have that. He must give it. And I need redemption. Deliverance from sin. I cannot do anything to put away my sin. I can't atone for my sin. I cannot at all. I need redemption, deliverance from my sin. I'm in great need. How about you? I'm in great need. And I need salvation. I need salvation. We can sum it up all this way. I need Christ. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need salvation from all my transgression. And I cannot give myself life. I cannot give myself salvation. So I'm in great need. All men are, whether they realize it or not. All men are in Adam. All died in Adam. All have sinned. They're in need, whether they realize it or not. But men are so totally depraved that they think that they can supply their own need before God. They're going about to establish a righteousness of their own, rather than submitting to the righteousness that God has provided. Why do men do that? Because they're depraved. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of the gospel. They have a heart of unbelief. They're in need, but they don't see their need. God must open our eyes, and when He does, He shows us the supply we have in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the second point. Who shall supply all our need? Now, who's going to do it? Our need's great, tremendous. Who's going to supply our need? Look at the text. It says, My God shall supply. Not maybe, not if, not perhaps. My God shall supply. He shall, and we will. My God shall supply all your need. You see this confidence that Paul has? This is the confidence that he speaks of way over here in chapter 1. Remember this verse where we started? Chapter 1, verse 6. This is the confidence he has. My God shall supply all your need. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, God, who hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it. He will perfect it. He will finish it until the day the Lord takes us home to glory. We're confident of this very thing. You know, Peter, if you'll find 2 Peter chapter 1, speaks of these blessings with great confidence. Great confidence. My God shall supply all your need. We're confident that God is able. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of God's glory. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us all things. God shall supply all our need. God, who is the absolute sovereign of the universe, He is the all-sufficient one to supply all our need. You ever studied those seven names of Jehovah in the Scripture? A sevenfold name of Jehovah. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh in Genesis 22, the Lord will provide, and He does provide. You remember what Abraham told Isaac? God will provide Himself a lamb for sacrifice, and He did. He provided Himself as the sacrifice. You see, my God shall supply all our need. He's the all-sufficient one. And my friend, that which God supplies and with that which God provides, He will accept. That which He provides, He will accept. Now, He does it alone. He provides this, all things for us alone. My God shall supply. He does it alone without our help. Nothing's too hard for Him. Nothing's too hard for our Lord. With Him, all things are possible. All things are possible. Now, who is this God that supplies all our need? That Paul says there, my God shall supply all our need. Who is this God? He's the God of all providence, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Back a few pages. He's a God of all providence. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory both now and forever. He's a God of all providence who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians 1 verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted Christ. He's a God of all providence. He's a God of all grace. God of all grace. Find 1 Peter chapter 5. He's a God of all grace. All mercy. 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 10. Who is this God that supplies all our need? He is God who is the absolute sovereign over all things. He's a God of providence, all providence. He's a God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. He's a God of all grace, who's able to save us and keep us. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He's a God of all grace. He's a God of all salvation. He's a God of Holy Scripture that Paul calls my God, is indeed our God who is mighty to save. He's mighty to save. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what He did in heaven, in the earth, seas, and all deep places. All that He has promised, He's able to perform. He's able to do. Able to do all that He promised. You see, my God, this is a big promise. It's a big God. My God shall supply all your need. I like this scripture. 1 Kings 8:56. First, don't turn. Let me just quote it to you. 1 Kings 8:56. Solomon prayed this way. At the dedication of the temple, according to all He has promised, there hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised. Not one word failed. Not one. All that He has promised, He's able to do. You see the promise here? My need is great. Who's going to supply all my need? My God shall supply all you need. Now, thirdly, here's the third point. Notice this. Our God meets our every need in a grand and glorious way. Not a skimpy way. We're not just going to skimp by. He meets our need in a glorious way, in an abundant way, in a plenteous way. According to His riches, according to His riches, not according to my merit, not according to as I deserve, He's going to bless me and supply all my need according to His riches of His grace in glory by Christ Jesus. a grand and a glorious way, according to His riches, according to His mercy, and according to His grace in Christ Jesus. He gives the poor and needy all things. He blesses us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. He gives the poor and needy all things. He clothes us in His righteousness. He blesses us with the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us all things, three things, fully, freely, and forever. Forever. He gives us all things freely. Let's see if we can turn to Scripture. Find Romans chapter 3. He gives us all things freely. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 3. And notice verse 24. Romans 3, 24. Being justified. Justified. Now you get a hold of that. Justified before God. Cleared of all guilt. Made righteous before God in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. Freely by His grace. Now you can camp right there the rest of your life on that one verse. Being justified. God justifies the ungodly by the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freely, freely, freely. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Freely, freely. He gives, meets all our needs, supplies all our need according to His riches in glory. Freely. Secondly, fully. Romans 8, 32. Look at this. He that spared not His own Son, Romans 8, 32, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He gives us all things freely. Everything I need, He gives me, reckons to me, imputes to me freely by His grace. Therefore, who shall anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God who justifies. It's God who justifies. And He gives to us not only freely, but fully, fully. Supply all our need. Not some of it. All our need. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. My God shall supply all your need. Not some. All of it. All of it. Colossians 2, look at verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. In a body. And you are complete in Him, which is the head, Lord of all principality and power. We are complete in Him. He blesses us freely, supplies us freely. He supplies us fully. Filled to the full. Fully. Completely. And He does it forever. He says, I give my sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. Whatsoever the Lord does, it shall be forever. You cannot take away from it and you cannot add to it. God does it forever. That's Ecclesiastes 3:14. You see this glorious promise? Our great God gives generously, abundantly, richly, according to His riches. His riches. In glory through Christ. Now I want to look at this word riches for just a moment. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's a rich inheritance earned, not by me, earned by another, the Lord Jesus Christ, my substitute, my surety, my mediator, my advocate. Turn back to Ephesians now, Ephesians chapter 1, and look at this word riches for a moment. You ever notice this in Scripture? Be a good word study sometime if you like to do those things. Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Freely, how freely they flow. Again in Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Paul prays for this church that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of this inheritance we have in Christ Jesus. You see, he blesses us and supplies us abundantly. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 4. Verse 1 down through verse 3 describes everything we are by nature, dead in sin, children of wrath, even as others. But look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. You see, he blesses us richly, richly in Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Turn over there. Ephesians 3, verse 8. It says unto me, Ephesians 3:8, who am the less than the least of all the saints, is grace, this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Down in the same chapter, look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. He would grant you. A grant's a gift. A grant's a gift. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that new man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ. Oh, to know the love of Christ. He loved us and gave himself for us to know this love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the churches by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You see, he blesses us abundantly in Christ Jesus. One more on this. Riches. Colossians chapter 1. Turn over there. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints, to whom God would make known. That's sovereignty. To whom God would make known. He have mercy on whom he will. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, he blesses us abundantly. Now look back at the text again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's my last point. By what means does he fill the believer? By what means? Well, right there in the text. By Jesus Christ. By the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question. Does our God supply all our need by the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Always and alone in him by giving us Christ himself. Now, you remember what I said when we started the message? Our need is great. And I mentioned those seven things of our need. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all our need met in him. In him, we have pardon. In him, we have pardon. He is our pardon. He is our salvation. Now, a couple of scriptures on that. Turn to Isaiah 40. He is our pardon. God's going to meet all our need according to his riches and glory by and through and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40. He is our pardon. Isaiah 41. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardon. for she hath received of the Lord's hand double cure from all her sin. Plenteous, plenteous. Do we have pardon? Absolutely. Nehemiah 9:17, Nehemiah prayed this way, Thou art a God ready to pardon. He's ready to pardon in Christ Jesus. So we have pardon in Christ. Righteousness. I need righteousness. I need a justifying righteousness, not at my hand. I can't produce one. But we have a blessed righteousness of God in the gospel. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. No wonder. Turn to Romans 4. You see, all these are met to the full, supplied, filled to the full in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 4. No wonder David said in verse 6, even as David also describeth the righteousness, the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Boy, without works, without any contribution on my part, without any expected contribution on my part. God imputeth, reckons, gives, charges to your account righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge sin. That's a blessed man. You see, all our need is met. I need pardon. Christ is my pardon. I need righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I need a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Turn to Ephesians, now chapter 2, verse 1. I need a spiritual resurrection from the dead. And this is exactly what he does when he saves sinners. He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he puts us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He calls us out of darkness, death, and ignorance into life and liberty in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He given us life from the dead. He is my pardon. He is my righteousness. He is my life. He is my resurrection. He is my salvation. I need faith. I don't have that. Well, Ephesians 2 said that faith is the gift of God. Now find Hebrews 12. You see, he meets all our need in Christ Jesus. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, as I said earlier, and we're complete in him. In him all fullness dwells. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. I need pardon. I need righteousness. I need spiritual resurrection from the dead. I need faith. He gives those things in the gospel, in Christ Jesus. I need redemption. I need redemption. I need my sin put away. Stay right there in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 9. I love this book of Hebrews. It tells us so much about the superiority and the excellency of the priesthood of Christ, of his sacrifice, of his mediation for us. Hebrews 9, look at verse 11. Being come a high priest, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He did it with his own blood by himself. He purged all our sin. Stay right there in Hebrews 9, look at verse 26. The middle part of the verse, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, I need all these things, and they're all met in Christ Jesus fully, completely, freely, and forever. Pardon, righteousness, resurrection from the dead, faith, redemption, and I need salvation. Salvation is in a person. the Lord Jesus. Turn to 1 John 5. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I need life. I need salvation. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. All our need. Look at verse 19 again. Back to our text. He gives us all things by giving us Christ Himself, and by giving us all things by the power of His merit, the virtue of His merit. My God shall supply all your need. Now watch this. Don't miss this. My God shall supply all your need. Notice that doesn't say needs. It's singular. Need. Our one need is Christ. In Him we have all things. According to His riches in glory by Christ. Now look at verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now who gets the glory in all this? God Almighty. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. One more scripture. Find all to His glory. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is our witness. This is the witness of John when he came preaching. John 1, 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace. Grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All to His glory. All to His glory. Well, I pray the Lord will bless this.